Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order. I'm sorry some of you did not get the word that the starting time was a little delayed. Our floor session ran long, which is happening more and more as the session wears on. So we have a full roster of appointees to commissions and boards, and so we will start right away with the appraiser, certification, and licensure boards. Brian Brooks.
That's right.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Senate. Rules Committee for your time and energy today. I'm Brian Brooks. I am a State of Oregon residential appraiser and a resident of Tualatin. And would you like me to carry on?
Just give a few words about why you're interested
well,
in this board.
It's an honor and a privilege as a citizen, as an appraiser, to be here today as a candidate for appraiser certification and licensure board. Based on more than 16 years as appraiser and 7 previous years as in service with the Appraisal Institute, I believe I'm well suited for the and committed to the idea of protecting the public with the ACLB's mission of protecting the public and ensuring that all real estate appraisal activity conducted in Oregon is in compliance with state and federal laws and standards, and ensuring that appraisals are performed with competency and professionalism.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee? All right. Thank you very much. There are no questions, and we will be acting on this appointment at the end of the meeting.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll have on the phone William Schmidt, appointee to the Building Code Structures Board. Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jenny Burdick, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee. We have all our committee members present. And if you could just introduce yourself and just say a few words about why you are interested in serving on the Building Code Structure Board.
Hi, my name is William P. E. Schmidt. I'm from Roseburg, Oregon, and I applied to Building Codes and Structures. My background is working in disabilities and as a contractor for 20 years. So I have a lot of background in the area, and I was raised in politics. I very much enjoy Salem and Oregon politics.
Very well done. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you very much, Mr. Schmidt. We will act on your appointment at the end of our meeting, so thank you for participating.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you for making it possible for me to be home with a grandchild. Thank you.
Well, grandchildren are important. Thank you. Okay, next we have Charles Dunn and Dr. Hai Pham for the Oregon Board of Dentistry. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you for having us. My name is Hai Pham here, and I'm a pediatric dentist in the local community in the Beaverton Hillsborough area. So I practice in private practice, and I see lots of little kids, from healthy, scared kids to very medically compromised kids. And I'm currently serves as the section chair for Randall's Children's Hospital for all the pediatric dentists and dentists there. I think it's a privilege to be able to serve on this board, and my goal is to bring evidence-based care to our patients so we can keep them healthy and safe.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Chip Dunn, or Charles Dunn. I also go by Chip. I'm here for the appointment for Board of Dentistry, and I live in Happy Valley with my wife, Cindy, and 2 young sons, Charlie and Isaac. Came to Oregon 21 years ago, sight unseen, to attend Portland State University. and play a little football at Portland State. After graduating 5 years into school, I graduated with a degree in speech and communications and also set a few records as a running back for Portland State. Since leaving Portland State in 2001, I took the work ethic from the classroom and the football field to the work environment, where I worked in banking and financial services for a few years. Currently, I'm in commercial real estate, where I work for myself as a real estate developer in Portland. I have remained engaged in community development and volunteering within the community and serving on boards for years that I believe bring a tremendous amount of value to the state. I think Oregon is a great place to live and raise a family, and as a person that is very health conscious, the reason I want to serve on this board is because I think it's very important to be a part of the initiative to help everyone have safe access to oral health care. Furthermore, I want to be a part of something bigger than myself that is contributing to the well-being of all of our citizens. I appreciate your consideration for this appointment, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Go Vikings.
Yes.
And the pediatric dental profession is heroic for anyone who's ever had a child. Yeah. Thank you both. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Okay, Environmental Quality Commission, Kathleen George, Dr. Molly Kyle, and Wade Mosby. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
Who wants to go first?
I can. Well, good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Kathleen George, and I live outside of McMinnville, Oregon, and Senator Boquist, beautiful district. I am a tribal councilwoman for the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde. The tribal government provides services to over 5,000 tribal members, and we are the largest employer in Polk County. Prior to serving on tribal council, I served as the director for Spirit Mountain Community Fund, which provided philanthropic grants throughout Western Oregon and to all of our 9 Oregon tribes. But prior to that, most of my career has been spent in the environmental arena and helping tribes identify and work with partners at the state and federal level to protect people, air, lands, and water. And so I am hoping that my experience living and working on both the east side and the west side of our state can be helpful, having worked with a wide variety of communities to address environmental challenges and seek solutions. So I hope that my background and experience can be of service to the state on the Environmental Quality Commission.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators. It's good to see you. So my name is Molly Kyle. I am an associate professor at Oregon State University. I moved out to Oregon in 2011 when I was recruited to the college to help build an accredited school of public health, which we received a couple years ago. And since then, I've been the coordinator for the environmental health program. So we've been working to build a graduate degree program in environmental and occupational health science. In addition to that professorial duty, I am also an environmental epidemiologist. My specialty scientifically, and I run a research lab with this, is to understand how people are exposed to chemicals, most of my work is chemical, from environmental sources, and then also whether those exposures do or do not relate to health outcomes. So I am a scientist. I weigh evidence for a living. In addition to kind of my research science, I've also gotten involved a little bit in environmental health policy in the sense of serving on a National Academy of Science board. And for that, we're the last of the congressional reviews for determining whether or not Vietnam vets who are exposed to Agent Orange, whether any exposures that they have would be related to health outcomes in their children. If we see a weight of evidence there, then that has implications for veteran affair benefits. So the type of service that I like to do is in that arena. I think that helps explain why I'd be interested in this type of position. And if chosen, I'd be happy to serve Oregon to the best of my ability.
Thank you very much.
Chair Burdick, Senators, I'm Wade Mosby. I live in Lake Oswego. I'm a retired Forest Products executive. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you as a nominee for the Environmental Quality Commission. I think I have the knowledge, experience, and temperament to successfully serve and help administer policy and rulemaking that protects the health, safety, and welfare of the general public. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Boquist.
This is my good colleague isn't going to ask questions. First, I want to thank all three of you, because I corresponded with all three of you. And, of course, I know Kathleen because she's in my district. And I appreciate your candid comments back. obviously, the three of you are here under unusual circumstances in the history of Oregon. So I really have two questions. And just so you know, several of us here actually met with the governor. So we have an idea of her vision of what you're about to do. So I'm sort of looking to get a little information from you, because I don't think my correspondence with you doesn't lead me to believe that you know her vision. So, and I do appreciate you volunteering to serve. But I guess the first thing is, I mean, we were advised that the previous three individuals didn't have the right set of expertise and qualifications. And what the commission needed was individuals who have expertise in air quality. I'd like each of you to, maybe help us out understand your background in air quality, if you have such, or what expertise you could put forth in the air quality arena.
Can I take that one first?
Yeah, go ahead.
She's a scientist. Let her.
I've got the easy explanation there. A lot of my research that I do is in understanding the human health effects of toxics, and a lot of those toxics are present in air pollution. So I think some of the issues that have come to the forefront, particularly around Portland, is metals, arsenic, cadmium in particular. Well, actually, I have several NIEHS-funded research projects that are examining the health effects of arsenic, so I believe I'm very well suited to understanding what is and isn't significant findings in that domain. So with regards to understanding the air toxics, air emission, air pollution studies, the quality of the scientific evidence, I think that's square over my plate.
Well, Chair Burdick and Senator Boquist, I have worked in the environmental arena, as I mentioned. A great deal of that work for me did focus primarily on the water side of the various media. Now, that being said, it also involved reducing toxics broadly to reduce risk to people and resources. And so certainly one primary method of that exposure is through water or through fish, but another is certainly through air or even dermal exposure. So there are numerous pathways, even though I spent most of my time on the more policy side in water. I also briefly worked for the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and in that capacity, I really didn't focus on any particular media. My job in that capacity was worked with small communities on how they interact with DEQ and how they deal with their compliance challenges. So that really was kind of cross-media and just reaching out to rural communities, finding out what their needs were and their needs to work with DEQ and find paths to compliance if they were out of compliance. So that was kind of a cross-media way in which I worked with communities on behalf of the department.
Thank you. Yeah, Senator Boquist, my background is industrial. In the forest products industry, I started back in the late 90s the Environmental Committee for the Composite Panel Association, which is Mexico, U.S., and Canadian, all the particle board and MDF plants. We had tremendous problem because urea formaldehyde was the primary resin. There was some skepticism, quite frankly, when I pushed for environmental means, but subsequently I ended up being chairman of the panel association for two terms. The industry came around. We've found other alternatives now, and most of us have lowered it. We worked with CARB a lot in California, worked with the EPA back in D.C. Also, Collins is a large forest owner. We have about 310,000 acres of forests throughout the U.S. We had it all certified. It's sustainably managed. It's a carbon sink, so I spent a lot of time looking at carbon credits. And then, obviously, we had particle board plants, so we had to deal with CARB in California and obviously DEQ here. So I do have a good industrial background, a good understanding of what it takes. I know what we need to do to comply, and the technology has changed, and the science has gotten better. So I think I bring a broad industrial background.
Mahalo. And I've read your bios and actually getting communicated, so I appreciate that. The next one's not a trick question, right? I'm just, because you serve at the pleasure of the governor. The governor's actually told some of us here her vision going forward. And that vision is, you know, to basically implement a Oregon air quality plan that's neither in policy, in statute, in regulation, or under the federal law. So I'm just a little curious, given that the exact reason for the last three not being here is that they didn't effectively communicate with the governor. So I'm sort of looking for, I guess, a reaction or your idea of how you would envision developing a new concept for Oregon, whether you think the legislature and statute and regulation would actually be part of that, or the executive branch might just branch out. And it's, I'm not giving you a trick question. I'm outlining you based on what we were informed by the governor. I don't want you to misconceiving that this is going to be easy in any manner whatsoever. So, and since I know several of you have been in regulatory fields, science fields, so on and so forth, I'm looking for your action. You know, how do you go forth and develop a new plan?
Let's change the order.
Or your reaction.
Well,
he's the business guy. He'll figure it out.
Okay. When I was first approached, I was asked if I would be amenable to listening to input from the governor's office. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if the governor appoints you, I certainly would listen to input. Doesn't mean I would rule with what the governor says. That was never implied. Mm-hmm. I would listen. I obviously, this air quality thing is new. I know very little about that. I do know I've looked through the rules and regulations and the 33 pages that DAS puts out on what the committee is. And so I'm going to tell you right now, I will listen to input from the legislature, from the general public, from the governor. I'm going to do what the rules and regulations require. I've read the 33 pages, and I think I can be a good board member. And I certainly am for clean air and clean water.
Well, I can certainly understand how after the recent experience in Oregon the last few years and the amount of time we've heard air quality and air pollution problems in the news on a day-to-day basis, that there is a recognized desire that we need a better path in Oregon for managing and regulating air toxics. The details of that, you know, nothing has not been shared with us beyond an overview of the air quality program at our preliminary meeting, which was kind of a briefing on the program. We, as any border commission, will be bound by the authorities to enact, you know, those regulations or policies that are in writing. And our authority and to act will be bound by those. So this kind of policy problem solving is always a matter of corresponding with all interested parties, both the legislature, the executive, the regulated community, small communities who may have challenges complying, and the folks who suffer the impacts of pollution as well. So in my past working with the EQC ends up, in some ways, like the legislator, being very much a soundboard for many of the parties in Oregon who are affected both by the regulation but by the outcomes of the pollution into our environment. And so certainly I would hear all parties and work to find a reasonable solution forward for Oregon that protects the health of our citizens.
Doc?
Yeah, so I'm going to answer the contentious part first. We have not been... Aside from a short briefing, we don't really know what the governor's intentions are, and I assume that's going to come in the future. the minute you kind of talk about natural resource base, it is normally by contentious because you're talking about people wanting to use a natural resource for multiple different purposes. And a large part of that is for economic benefit, and it's meant to be that way. So I think it's important moving forward with any policy, whether it's Clean Air Oregon and what that might or might not look like, or even the water quality permits or, you know, any of the things in their domain, that you hear from the different stakeholders that are involved. And so I would assume as commissioners, we get those points of view. And the governor would be one of them. The legislator would be one of them. The people who want to use that resource base are one of them. And if I don't hear a voice in the mix that I think should be there, and it's within my purview to request information from them, I would do so, because that's part of doing the job. You need to understand who's involved in the decision-making process, much like what you do. So I think a large part of my role will be to listen, and to listen from as many people as possible, and then sift through that information to try to determine the path forward, whatever that is. So I'm not afraid of listening. I think it's really important. And it's rarely personal. You're hearing about people that are invested in trying to find a solution, and I think part of the job of a commission or any legislative body, yourselves included, is to listen through that and sift. So I'm willing to do that.
Thank you. And again, thank you for applying, and thank you for communicating for us. Just good luck.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Farrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From my colleagues' conversations and our conversations that we had in our office, and an ongoing discussion with the governor that will continue, I guess I'd like to ask this question from the business perspective to the business veteran. How important is certainty for the regulated community?
Obviously, as a business person, we like certainty. We like that we know what the rules are. Obviously, things change. Science, you know, has just changed. I look back when I started. We had wigwam burners when I started in this industry in 1971, and we've come a long way. You don't see that anymore. The health and safety of our employees is critical. Business wants to do a good job. The small business need a little bit of help. Most of the larger business have professional environmental consultants or in-house people. And I can tell you, I'm the oldest person here, probably at 69. What we had in 1947 in Sweet Home, Oregon, is a lot better. We don't have the smoke, and it's a cleaner air down there. The problem is we don't have the job. So I'm a pragmatic person. We need industry, especially in the rural and smaller towns. And there's a medium, but you have law and you work with people. Most of us, if we have time to develop the technology to meet new standards, we can do it. There's a cost to it. There's a cost and there's a benefit. But we're a technological society. The things that I saw over my working career that have changed would amaze you now. A lot of them are a lot more efficient, but I can tell you the technology's improved, and the health of our air and our water to the general public has improved, and we need to keep it that way. So business can do it. We got to give them some help, and we work with them, but we can meet those standards as we get some time and the help we need.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Please.
I certainly agree with the idea that we're in a changing environment. In fact, the purpose of science is to help measure change and provide lessons from those measurements. We have an example in play now of a compliant corporation that's meeting all of its federal and state standards. All of its permit requirements is actively engaged in consultation with the regulation agencies. And yet, based on a computer model with no verified data points, we have three agencies that had to be enjoined from essentially a public relations attack on that corporation. So I wonder, given that stability is so important, how you view the regulatory versus the consultative approach to gaining compliance in the face of technological change. And that's for all three.
Well, I'll start. you know, what I know about that situation is what I read in the paper, in the media. Quite frankly, it probably shouldn't have hit. I would hope that the agency and the company would have worked together, had some consultation, but obviously it's in the media now. You're absolutely correct. From what I understand, which is what I read in the newspaper, you know, they're in compliance with current state regulations. Potentially, they may be out of compliance based on a cumulative procedure that may be put into place in the future. But I can't believe this company is very progressive. They're very technical. I can't believe that the state agency and that company can't work together to come up with technology that will meet future requirements. I'm a pragmatic kind of guy. Let's work together. Let's find a solution.
Consultative versus regulatory.
Well, the Department of Environmental Quality is a regulatory body, but it also has the responsibility to work with communities and business to find paths forward to compliance. I, too, am only as familiar with this instance as what's been revealed in the public and would hesitate to comment in too much detail on a regulatory potentially circumstance that I don't know the details of, nor do I know the details of the models that have been used and how well established those are. But that being said, I've worked with, again, industry and small communities who have found themselves in difficult positions where they were unable, at least in the short term, to comply with perhaps health protective standards. And so there are a variety of regulatory means, including compliance standards or compliance schedules, I should say, that can be used. And we do need to find ways and at times try to help communities or agencies find some support or technical assistance for how to move forward. I couldn't speak to the details of this case until I knew them better, but I think that is part of the agency's process of working with organizations. And in the past, I've been part of those conversations, and sometimes they go on for years to find a path forward to compliance. So I think that's part of the problem solving that government and communities and business have to do together.
Mm-hmm. So with regards to, I would agree actually with my two commissioners, the DEQ is a regulatory body. It is set in place to help hold the compliance bar. To meet a compliance bar, yes, it needs to be steady. People need to know what the target is, and I really do think that once people know what that is, the responsible companies do, and they do it well, and often they will exceed compliance because people are good. The bad ones are easy to let's not go there. With regards to what's happening here, again, I've only seen what's in the papers. As the scientist, when I hear that a computer model suggests that there's a problem, I would think that the next logical step would be to go verify the computer models. And then you have to see what that data says.
Madam Chair, I think that the reticency of these members to comment without full information gives me confidence that they understand the complexities of these issues. And so I guess I would characterize hesitancy as a good impulse. You don't want to take action without knowing all the details. So that leads me to my final question, and you just opened the door to that question. Thank you. Computer modeling leads us to believe all sorts of different things without data testing and data points and field verification. It's just a theory. So the question I have is, how important will you regard these data points and field verifications, and what's the proper role of the computer model? Is it something you should take action on, or should there be a thoughtful replication of the model using field testing and data points that you can verify on the ground?
Can I take this one first, please?
Yeah.
I think there's just a practicality piece and an economic piece, actually, to monitoring. And so I think computer models are excellent screening tools when done well. When the data is inputted in accurately, they are lovely screening tools. But they're screening tools. if your regulatory system is set up in a way that you're using a computer model to try to identify hotspots, to be honest, it's no different than using a surveillance system to look at pediatric dentistry problems or cavities. It's a surveillance system. You then go in and you investigate potential problems to verify the accuracy of that data. But the minute you move off a computer model, it costs a lot of money. So that's the tension between computer models and doing verification studies. And some of that's going to depend on budgetary resources. Some of it's going to depend on the toxicity of the compound that you're chasing. Some of it's going to depend on how many other, the population density under there, because the more people that are potentially exposed, the greater the risk versus something that's more rural. Like, there's a lot of levels of detail that would help you prioritize where you would spend that extra money beyond a computer model. So I would take all of that, hopefully, into consideration to develop a priority screening process. But yes, I do believe computer models are helpful.
A tool. A non-dispository tool. You can't look at a computer model and come to a conclusion. You have an indicator. You don't have a conclusion.
I have colleagues that might debate that a little more.
Those are the ones I worry about. Madam Chair, I have my answers. Thank you very much.
A follow-up question.
A follow-up question.
Actually, more of an observation. DEQ is a regulatory agency. Hence, the problem, though, is that when you don't have the authority to regulate and you're doing it, you get sued and you get an injunction. And so I would point out that it's easy to say regulatory, but if you don't have this, which is leading in my question was, is if you don't have the statutory authority, even if you have the science, even if you have, let's say hypothetically you're in a situation, you have science to say something, but if you don't have the regulatory authority, you're going to lose 9 times out of 10 in the court, in the judge, and you're going to lose in the Court of Appeals. And the problem some of us are having is trying to grasp a theoretical construct of a new policy that we're going to do without regulatory authority, and the three of you and two other members are going to be asked to implement this new policy that has no regulatory authority. And so that was the gist of my question. So I would just, like Senator Ferriola, be aware, because, pleasure might be short for the three of you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I want to thank the three of you for being willingness to step up into what's a very tough job, particularly in the current circumstances. There's a lot of questions and a lot of doubt about, what you will do. You will be the majority of the EQC when you're confirmed. But you do bring an interesting breadth of experience and good experience. I think you clearly have the background of talent and knowledge and skill sets to do that. So I think you'll do a great job for that. I, as someone who spent a decade as a regulator, I understand what you're getting into, and I will guarantee you that people will not be happy with your decisions from one side or the other. But I would encourage you to remember that you have a fiduciary responsibility. You actually have the authority over the EQ or the DEQ staff. You have the authority to set the rules that industry have to live by. And I think the conversation you've had this afternoon so far, the key there is remembering that the idea is to keep Oregon citizens safe, but in a practical manner. And bringing that, I like that practicality, so I always approached it that way, bringing it in there, and it's helping people comply. And hopefully that's where you spend most of your time, is helping them to come into compliance. But sometimes they won't, and sometimes you'll have to take actions, and that's just part of the job. So I wish you the best of luck, and thank you again for being your willingness to serve. It's a hard job.
Thank you. Other questions?
No, I'm good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, our next appointee is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Dave Fisco. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and committee members. For the record, my name is Dave Fiscom, and I am here as Governor Brown's nominee to serve on the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. My address here in Salem is 3621 Augusta National Drive South. First, I want to thank the governor publicly for nominating me to this important position, and I would add that after a couple of years of retirement from my 23 years as a lobbyist, it's good to see you back in this building where I have ventured a couple times in the last 2 years. My background includes 15 years working for a variety of state agencies, including Portland State University, the Department of Human Resources, the Economic Development Department, and, in fact, the late Governor Victor Attia. In 1990, with two partners, I formed a lobbying and public relations company, Conkling, Fiscom, and McCormick, and worked for more than 23 years as a lobbyist. During all of that time, including my state service, I was under the regulatory authority of the Ethics Commission as a registered lobbyist. In retirement, I should add, I am not now registered. Beyond that, I just want to make two brief points, both of equal weight. First, based on my career involved in state government over nearly 40 years, I believe that ethics at its base is a matter of personal commitment and behavior. It is who you are and what you do, no more, no less. Secondly, I have been around the Government Ethics Commission for many years and believe that the OGEC provides a critical function for state government, living up to a set of standards. Accountability standards in rule and law is important for legislators, for public officials, and for lobbyists, and it is the OGEC that manages and enforces those standards. So, Chair Burdick and committee members, thank you for your consideration today, and if confirmed, I'm very willing to serve in this capacity as an OGEC member. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? All right. Thank you. I've been ordered to give you a hard time, but I'm going to spare you for want of time.
There are several colleague lobbyists in the back of the room who want to testify, but
don't
take any opposition.
They begged. I held them off. Okay. Next is Professor Gerardo Sandoval for the Oregon Housing Stability Council.
Hey, good afternoon, Senators. Thank you for the opportunity for having me here today. I am an associate professor in the Department
of... If you could give your name, please.
I'm sorry. My name is Gerardo Sandoval. So I'm an associate professor in the Department of Planning, Public Policy, and Management at the University of Oregon. I have a PhD and a master's degree in city and regional planning from UC Berkeley. At the University of Oregon, I teach classes on urban redevelopment and public participation, especially focusing on public participation in marginalized communities. My current research agenda focuses on gentrification issues and housing affordability issues related to transit-oriented development project. And I'm also researching kind of mechanisms for public participation for outreach into underrepresented and difficult to reach populations. So in this capacity, I'm really interested in encouraging three things. So one is the link between affordable housing and transportation in terms of transit-oriented development projects in low-income neighborhoods. I think there's a lot of concern, especially in areas like Portland and its suburbs, around gentrification issues and displacement issues. And my research in California has actually shown that you could create these large transportation projects and actually benefit the community instead of just leading to displacement. Secondly, I'd like to focus on maintaining housing affordability in rural communities. Most of my research in Oregon includes rural communities. I've done research in Southern Oregon, and I have a project right now in Eastern Oregon. Eastern Oregon actually really fascinates me. Within this, I'm interested in supporting farm worker housing issues. And speaking to some growers in Eastern Oregon, they actually commented on how difficult it is to find labor for their farms because of issues related to housing in the area. And thirdly, I'd like to, and this doesn't have anything to do with my research, but being a disabled Army veteran myself, I'm very passionate about homeless veterans issues. So I'm really interested in understanding kind of what the current situation is with homeless veterans in the state, how to work with the state, the Veterans Affairs resources, and some private foundations to help our homeless veterans. So again, thank you for your time.
And thank you for your willingness to serve. Are there questions, comments from the committee?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next is Leslie Goss from the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots.
Captain Goss.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and Senators. So my name is Leslie Goss. I'm from just south of Portland in a small patch of unincorporated Multnomah County, and I am the nominee for the public member vacancy for the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. I've lived in Oregon in the same neighborhood for the last 20 years. I've been fortunate to be able to devote my time to raising a family, still doing that, and serving on local nonprofit boards and committees, including steering and building, search, development, ministry, athletics, and our small neighborhood association. I've raised lots of money annually for our one school district, and I continue to serve as an elected member of our local water district. Throughout the service, I've gained some experience listening to people, trying to distill the issues, gather the stakeholders, and push toward resolution of difficult issues in a methodical and a well-communicated way, while everyone at the table hopefully still feels heard and valued. I'm excited to apply this experience to service on the long-lived Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. As a board member, I would be eager to support the board's mission of promoting public safety by assuring that there are well-qualified persons licensed to pilot vessels entering and leaving Oregon ports. In doing so, we're also supporting waterborne commerce, waterway safety, and protecting the environmental assets of those pilotage grounds. I'd like to thank Mary Moeller and Aaron Seiler for their help and assistance for today, and thank you, Senator Burdick, and other senators for the opportunity to appear before you.
Thank you. I'm struggling with an unincorporated place of Multnomah County, south of Portland.
Yeah, tiny little
Madam
one.
Madam Chair, she may take the Fifth Amendment.
Not so the island.
No, that's north.
Right, exactly. It's right a little there. Area called Riverdale.
Oh, you're in Riverdale. Okay.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Okay, you got me. You got me. All right, other questions for the committee?
Thank you for serving the water work. Some of us like running water and realize that it's going to be in short supply. So yeah. Thank you for doing that service.
My pleasure. Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much.
Thank you. By the way, that used to be in my district.
Oh, we missed you.
Thank you.
Counting votes here, weren't you?
Okay. Moving right along, Dr. Kathleen Harder and Cheryl Pereira from the Oregon Medical Board.
Chair Burdick and Senators, so nice to see you this afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to sit before you as an appointee to the Oregon Medical Board. My name is Dr. Kathleen Harder. I live and practice in Salem, Oregon. I've had the privilege for the last 25 years of being a personal physician. It's been a distinct, sacred honor to be a practicing physician to thousands of patients over my course of my career. I've also served in leadership roles and education and mentoring positions. It has also been interesting over the course of my practice of medicine to watch the transformation of the practice of medicine and the medical delivery system with all its attendant challenges to both providers and patients alike. I think that I have the ability to bring a unique perspective to the Oregon Medical Board and to assist them in their mission to serve the safety, health, and well-being of all Oregonians through the practice, the regulatory practice of medicine, and I look forward to that opportunity.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the Rules Committee. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Cheryl Pereira, and I'm a nominee for the public member position of the Oregon Medical Board. I have a long history of public service, as did my family. My father was a career Marine, and my mother did volunteer work. After living many places, I moved to Oregon. I worked at OHSU and eventually settled in Corvallis to work at OSU. There, I was an academic advisor working with students from all walks of life who were pursuing a health profession. I also served in leadership positions with my national organization, where I interacted with leaders from all of the health professions. From those interactions, I learned about the culture, training, and the challenges they faced in each health profession. After 29 years, I retired from OSU this past September and had always planned to pursue meaningful volunteer work. A physician friend who had served on the medical board encouraged me to apply. I learned more about the position, and it seemed like an outstanding opportunity to serve my state in an important way that uses my background. My biology degree, my work in medical ethics, my work with diversity, and my years of working with students who entered the health professions have all prepared me for serving as a public member of the medical board in this important patient safety position. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you both. Questions from the committee. Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam. Just an observation. Several doctors in my district have been on the medical board. They made it one term and been slightly frustrated. So first, I thank you both for volunteering. I'm not sure you know what you're getting into, but appreciate that. I would tell you that about 68% of my Senate district are, you know, infuriated with rising health care costs and how that's going. And the importance of that point is that when we get in, you see all the news of budgets out there right now, but when we get in beyond the present session, which is 15-17, and go to 19-21, healthcare, not education, healthcare will become the number one expense of the general fund of the state of Oregon. And so we have to figure out ways in the future of to deliver at least the moderate and same level of services without having a 14% cost increase in the budget on an ongoing basis, because there's nobody out here, including you, doctor, that's making 14% more every year. So I would just encourage you and keep that in mind, that, you know, healthcare is the number one, not probably not PERS, is the number one problem we're going to face over the next 4 years. So, good luck.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments from the committee? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Liam Perry for the Board of Trustees for the Oregon Institute of Technology. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Senator Ferraroli, and members of the committee. My name is Liam Perry. I am currently enrolled at Oregon Tech studying civil engineering, and I plan to graduate in 2019. I was nominated to be on the Board of Trustees at Oregon Tech, and if appointed, I will fill the student position as a trustee. I am from Dallas, Oregon. I graduated from St. Am Christian, and the reason I chose Oregon Tech was because of their hands-on learning, exceptional outcomes for students, and the highest student success rate and starting salaries in the state. Class size is also relatively small, which gives students more opportunities than most public colleges. I am interested in serving on Oregon Tech's board because I want to be involved in the politics that make decisions that affect myself as well as my fellow students. I want to ensure that the student voice is always heard when the board deliberates on important matters such as increases in tuition, new programs, and investments in facilities and equipment. As a board member, I want to focus on the cultural and fiscal stewardship of the university, and I hope to bring a student perspective to the important decisions that face the board. At a time of shrinking state investment and increasing student responsibility to pay for education, I believe it is now more important than ever that students are involved in the decision-making processes, which includes representation on this board. I appreciate your time, and thank you for your consideration of my nomination.
Thank you, and thank you for serving. Looks like you made a good choice of schools. Mm-hmm. Questions from the committee?
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, next will be Michael Sue for the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Senators. My name is Michael Hsu, and I am Governor Brown's nominee to be the fifth member of the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. I am from Portland, Oregon, and I appreciate this opportunity today to testify. I applied to be a member of the board because I want to serve and protect the public. For the last 5 years, I worked as an attorney at Metropolitan Public Defenders in both Washington and Multnomah counties, where I represented defendants charged with misdemeanor and felony crimes. I have experience working with probation officers, treatment providers, district attorneys, and judges to craft sentences that promote public safety and rehabilitation. Prior to working as a public defender, I attended Lewis and Clark Law School, where I graduated with honors and completed internships with Justice Virginia Linder and Judge Michael McShane, who is here in support of my nomination today. I have dedicated my life and career to serving the public and would love to continue to do so as a member of the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. And once again, thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Ann Nickel for the Psychiatric Security Review Board.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and the senators. My name is Ann Nickel. I live in Portland. I'm here as a nominee for the attorney position on the adult panel of the Psychiatric Security Review Board. Thank you very much for having me here today. I'd like to tell you a little about my background and qualifications. I have been a lawyer for 20 years, both in civil practice and as a prosecutor at the District Attorney's Office in Multnomah County. I more recently have been teaching in the Criminal Justice Department of Portland Community College. And I also, in addition to that, over the past few years, have worked in a couple of positions supporting families whose children experience disability, helping them navigate systems and self-advocate within those systems, educational and community support systems to help their families thrive. And last but not least, I am a mother. I have four young children, and I'm deeply committed to the safety and betterment of our Oregon community.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Senator Boquist.
Thank you. Actually, just more of an observation. And you are a practicing attorney now, and I'm not sure who the other person was on there, but hopefully you can bring a common sense perspective. As you, I think you know, the board was in the news recently. You know, the attorney general said one thing, and the board decided to do something else. And when you get embroiled in those sorts of things, we end up paying in the legislature and financing it. So I would just look forward to having, you know, a lawyer on the board that looks at a broad spectrum, and then actually, this is rare for me, at least entertains what the attorney general is saying. Generally, I'm in opposition to the attorney general. But there has been challenges on this particular board, and so I would hope that you bring that fresh air. Good luck, and thank you for your
time.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, once in a while I agree with the AJ. It's a novel concept, isn't it?
Okay, we have on the phone, we have Chief Christine Allison from the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. Chief Allison.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Chair Jenny Burdick for the Rules Committee. We have all of our committee members present. And so if you could just give your name and briefly tell us why you're interested in this appointment.
Thank you, Chair and board members. My name is Christine Allison. I am Chief of Police for the City of Central Point down here in Southern Oregon. I have a bachelor's degree from Southern Oregon University and a master's degree from Boston University in criminal justice. I am being considered to sit on the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. I currently sit on the Police Policy Committee, and I am the second vice president for the Oregon Chiefs of Police. I am dedicated to this board and to advance police standards and training for the state of Oregon and for the profession that I serve in. and I'm really excited to be considered and also have this input. So thank you for your consideration for my selection on this board.
And thank you for being willing to serve. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Chief. Senator Boquist here. And I actually just want to make a comment. We actually had a fairly interesting discussion on the floor of the Senate this morning involving the need for police training in mental health and suicide prevention. And I'm sure as a local chief who has very few resources for that sort of training, that you'll be more than welcoming, because I know the Bureau of Police Standards and Training is working on a training program to help on the issue of mental health and suicide prevention and how police officers respond. And so we look forward to your participation in that.
Yes, I'm so happy to hear that, and I truly believe that that is the forefront of training for our police profession, not only in our state or regionally, but in the nation.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. And I think, you know, last thing, West Lynn was number 5 in 4 years of cop by suicide, and the medical examiner actually ruled it was cop by suicide. That's the 12th since 9/11. So thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee? Thank you very much, and thank you for being willing to serve. We will vote on these appointments at the end of the meeting.
Thank you for all of your service also.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, next, Sheila Clow from the Board of Trustees of Southern Oregon University, and I probably mispronounced your name.
You did very well. So thank you, Chair Burdick and committee members. This is truly an honor to
be considered. Can you put your name on the record?
Oh, sure, I will do that. It's an honor to be considered for the Board of Directors for Southern Oregon University. I'm Sheila Clow. I'm a resident of, you've been very close, I'm a resident of Southern Oregon in Ashland, where Southern Oregon University resides. I'm also the Chief Executive Officer for Asante Ashland Community Hospital, and maybe more important than anything, I am a mom of students at the age of college. So this is really an opportunity for me to serve my community. I have the distinct privilege of being able to work side by side with many of the representatives from Southern Oregon University, and I see the passion that they have for the university and for the work that they do. I also think that they play a very important role in our economy in Southern Oregon, as well as bringing up the next generation of our workforce. It would be a privilege and an honor for me to serve on the board of directors to ensure that this organization and this institution continues on in a successful manner to help serve our region. As a board member, I think I bring a couple things perhaps to the table. One is I've been a board member in a number of different groups and organizations, so I know what the roles and responsibilities are of a board member. More importantly, I've been on the other side, where I've been in management. And so I understand the difference between governance and management, and understand the importance of staying as a board member on the governance side rather than the management side. The second area that I think I bring to this position would be healthcare, as Senator Boquist had mentioned, is going through a lot of transformation and needs to go through a lot of transformation. And I think that education as well, particularly higher education, is going through a considerable amount of transformation in terms of lowering costs and changing the way in which they deliver services to their students. When I was in management reporting to a board, I really looked to those members of my board and their industries and looked to their examples. For instance, we had a captain, a retired captain, a pilot, and when we were going through transformation of patient safety, we were looking to the airline industry as an example to model after. So I believe this aligned transformation of healthcare and education can be beneficial. So it would be an honor for me to serve in this role and help to ensure that Southern Oregon University is strong into the future.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee?
No, reduced tuition, but she knows that. She's got college age.
I do.
She's going in debt. She's going in debt paying for this stuff, right?
She's right there. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate your willingness to step up and serve on the board. Many wonder whether the regional universities can survive as small entities. I happen to think they can, but I think it takes some strategic vision. And I point out to the Senate President often, who raises that question across the street, and say they're making it. There are about 28 other of them in the state that are able to make it as private. So we ought to be able to support 8 of them. Yeah. And finding that, I think some of it is it can't be everything to everybody. And Southern particularly has a really strong position that you could develop. I remember 100 years ago when I graduated from high school, most of my classmates in Southern Oregon, their school of preference was then it was SOC, Southern Oregon College, one down the road here in the good senator's district in Polk County.
OCE.
So I think they can, huh?
OCE, Oregon College of Education, not to be confused with Oregon Normal School.
I know. But they were very strong, and I think they can be again. I think you have a challenge ahead, the board, and I know we've talked to your peers, soon-to-be peers, and they're, I know, very dedicated, and I wish you well.
Great. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Our next appointee is by phone, John Evans from the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. Mr. Evans.
Yes.
This is Jenny Burdick. I chair the Senate Rules Committee, and we have our committee members present to hear from you about why you would like to serve on the Board of Examiners for the Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology.
Okay. Well, just briefly, I'm a graduate of University of Oregon.
If you could give your name, thank you.
Oh, yes, John Evans, and I'm being appointed to a position for the Oregon Board of Examiners for Speech Pathology and Audiology. I'm a 1983 graduate of University of Oregon. I've been in the field for 33 years, 28 of that in Oregon. And I would like to serve on the board because I believe good communication is one of the most necessary skill sets that somebody can have for navigating the world, and that isn't just how they pronounce words, but as well as the content and the form of their language as well. A lot of people in Oregon need help in this area, and because the state has been good to me over the years, I'd like to give something back to my state, and I believe my expertise in the field would be of value to the board. I'd like to help ensure that anybody who provides speech, language, and hearing services in our state meets the criteria that's outlined by the OARs. And we all want the best services possible for those in need, provided by the most capable and qualified individuals.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Roblin.
Yeah, just a comment. It's really great to know that you started your career in Port Angeles, Washington, where I am from, and and that you chose to go back to your hometown in La Grande to continue your service, which is really an important thing for those of us who live in rural areas, to have people who spend time in rural areas and then return back to their local communities to help. And as a high school principal, having good speech pathologists is really important and difficult to find right now. So thanks for returning to your original roots and for spending a little time in my hometown.
You're welcome, and thank you very much. I've worked in schools as well as preschools and hospitals. So a lot of different places I've been, but yeah, I've enjoyed being back in my hometown. It's been great.
That's great. Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Evans. We'll vote on your appointment at the end of this meeting in a few minutes.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to serving on the Oregon Board of Examiners.
Thank you, and thank you for being willing to serve.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Jimmy Murray from the Board of Trustees for the University of Oregon.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Jimmy Murray, and I am the nominee for the non-faculty position on the University of Oregon Board of Trustees. First, let me say, Chair Burdick and committee members, it is an incredible honor to be here today. Thank you. I would like to really briefly talk about my history and three areas that I think demonstrate that I would be both a good candidate and why I think I would enjoy serving on the Board of Trustees. I was a student at the U of O and have been a staff member holding various positions within the U of O library since 2004. Regarding shared governance, the University of Oregon is very committed and seeks for members of all constituent groups to serve in that area. I have been a classified staff senator since 2013, and this year accepted a position on the U of O Senate Executive Board. I have taken immense pride in showcasing the issues and concerns of students, student employees, staff, and faculty. On fiduciary responsibility, the library is the second largest student employer on campus, and I supervise the second largest group within the library, and that's approximately 20 to 24 students, and I have a yearly budget of roughly $100,000. I also work with cutting-edge technologies, including our new visualization center and the DeArmond Makerspace. And if confirmed, I'm very excited to take a part on the board and continue the work to improve the U of O's IT infrastructure. As far as outreach, the library allows me the opportunity to serve a broad group of constituent groups on campus, students, faculty, staff, as well as members of the general public who use our library resources on a day-to-day basis. In conclusion, I've appreciated the many opportunities I've had to serve both the state and the University of Oregon, and if confirmed, I know I will enjoy this opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? All right. Thank you. Okay. Myla Buckland and Gary Carroll for the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Gary Carroll, and I am a Boy Scout Field Director, and I live in Portland. It is an honor to be considered for appointment to the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service. Volunteerism was taught to me at a very early age. My parents instilled in me a deep faith, which insists upon using my innate talents to enrich the lives of those around me. My siblings and I were taught to add our own gifts to the community that supported our upbringing so that younger generations would have the same opportunities for success as we did. This virtue has stayed with me throughout my entire adult life. I maintain a professional and personal commitment through my own vocation and volunteer work with service and culturally oriented organizations. My talents, strengths, and knowledge add to the great networks that exist in our neighborhoods. It is my hope that my peers and future generations will find inspiration that will transform to action wherever they live. If confirmed, I will apply my same passion for volunteerism to all projects to which I am assigned. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Senators. My name is Mila Buckland, and I am from Portland, Oregon. I also want to say how honored I am to just share with you briefly about why I want to serve on this Commission for Voluntary Action Service. I think the thing I really want to focus on is my passion for service. I'm currently serving as an AmeriCorps VISTA leader with Campus Compact of Oregon. This is my fourth stint of national service. I first came to AmeriCorps and service at the recommendation of mentors that I had in high school to return and work as a summer VISTA with an organization and a program that I was a part of as a student. And that has led to three more years of service in a leader capacity supporting AmeriCorps members on the ground. So I have both indirect and direct service experience. And I think that this commission has the ability to make really meaningful impacts. I would like to be a part of those conversations. And if confirmed, I am eager and I am ready to serve on this commission.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next appointee is Roger Ousty from the Workers' Compensation Board.
Chair
Chair Burdick, members of the Rules Committee, my name is Roger Uzi. I'm an attorney in private practice in Medford, Oregon. I've been representing injured workers for 31 years. I've watched the workers' compensation system change almost biannually until about 10 years ago. The system has reached some point of equilibrium at this point in time. But there have been times where the board has been a very contentious place. I don't think that's true right now. And that is one of the reasons that I was honored when the governor nominated me to the one of the two labor positions at the Workers' Compensation Board. I know the two employer representatives from the board very well. I've worked with them for years. I believe that I can contribute to keeping the current process stable and consistent. As I have been in practice for 31 years, all that you really want to know, and this came from a conversation you had with one of the other candidates today, is consistency. You want to know what you can tell your client is being so. And right now, I think that people can do that. That has not always been the case. I appreciate you taking the time to be here today. And earlier, the sun was out, and from Southern Oregon, that's always unheard. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You clearly brought it, because it has not been out all week.
Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Finally, Ann Mercereau and Christina Payne for the State Worker Workforce Investment Board. Did you get the memo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome. I think you are going to get along on this paper.
You're investing in the right things here.
So. Yeah, I'm happy to. Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Senators and Ms. Seiler. My name is Ann Mercereau, and I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to meet with you today and for considering my appointment to the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. I'm a 26-year Oregon resident living in the Selwood area, District 21. I serve as the Vice President of Human Resources, Diversity, and Inclusion for Oregon's largest electric provider, Portland General Electric. I've worked in human resources for more than 25 years and have been happy to support organizations to develop our future workers, organizations like Portland Workforce Alliance and the Oregon Tradeswomen, Inc. If Oregon is going to continue to be the vibrant, healthy community that attracts so many new people to our state, businesses, government, and community leaders must work together to develop new and better strategies to develop a diverse workforce that is well prepared to meet the challenges ahead. I believe an educated workforce that's ready to step into living wage jobs is good for Oregon's economy and has the added benefit of helping to reduce the poverty in our state. All of my life, I've worked hard to help people, to connect them to rewarding roles that fuel their passion and utilize their talents to the fullest. It would be an honor for me to help Governor Kate Brown and the members of the Investment Board in their mission to fuel a strong economy and prosperous communities through their support of skilled workers, quality jobs, and thriving businesses. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. My name is Christina Payne, and I am the Executive Director of Lane Workforce Partnership. We are the local workforce board for Lane County. I am also the current chair of the Oregon Workforce Partnership, which is the membership association of the 9 workforce boards from across the state of Oregon. I have 17 years of experience in workforce development and the last 3 serving as the executive director of the local workforce board. The work that we've done in Lane County has received statewide and national attention for the sector strategy work that we've done with the tech industry and raising the profile of the industry within our region and providing opportunities for people to pursue training in family wage jobs. I am looking forward to serving the state of Oregon as a member of the Oregon Workforce Investment Board, should my nomination be approved. And bring the background and the skills and the knowledge that I have, and also learn from others around the state serving on the board so that we can bring that back to our community as well. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? All right. Thank you very much. We will take about a 3-minute recess while I confer with my vice chair, and we will reconvene. Recess, please.
Turn blue.
Okay, we will reconvene the Rules Committee.
It doesn't do any good.
So I'm opening a work session and moving the following appointments to the Environmental Quality Commission: Kathleen George, Molly Kyle, and Robert Musby. Is there any discussion? Are there objections?
Well,
I'm
discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I remember we're supposed to discuss this.
I know. I just didn't see your hand.
See, you don't need to see my hand because we talked about this beforehand. colleagues, I mean, there is absolutely – we have three individuals who are very qualified for this particular commission. The interesting thing is, you know, most of us have had discussions with the executive branch. There are still a whole host of unresolved issues of sort of how we got here. And as I mentioned, Madam Chair, there's this notion of creating policy without regulatory or statutory authority. And so there's that discussion is ongoing, I think, with the governor's office. I mean, that's just one of those constitutional clashes between executive and legislative branches. I believe most of that will be resolved in the next day or two. So I am perfectly happy, unfortunately, voting against the three members and carrying the bill, because I will be voting for some of them at some point anyway. But we have this ongoing discussion with the governor. So in the committee, I will be a no vote, but I'd be delighted to carry it. And one of them is from my district. And again, all three are perfectly qualified. And our bone of contention is not with the three of them. It's in the next 48 hours with the governor. And we'll resolve that.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Boquist. Senator Ferriero.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Likewise, I find the three nominees to be very highly qualified and certainly motivated to serve. It's unfortunate that we have a situation that requires us, because of our advise and consent authority, the Senate's given a unique confirmation role, and we take it deadly seriously. Your predecessors, as you may know, were all highly qualified and serving well. Differences of opinion are between the governor and the folks that were removed, but the issue for us is about policy. How does it get developed? Whose executive authority begins, and where does the legislative branch authority begin, and how do those things relate to each other? I think the solution is for us to work closely together and coordinate better. That is what we will try to be accomplishing in the next couple of days. I'll be voting no and reserving my right to vote otherwise as these nominations come to the floor.
Thank you. Further discussion? Okay, the motion is to move the appointments of Kathleen George, Molly Kyle, Robert Musby to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed. Would you please call the roll?
Senator Byer?
Yes.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Senator Roblin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ferriero?
No.
Chair Burdick?
Yes.
Okay. And I will carry that, as oddly as it seems, in this committee. I'll be carrying that motion.
You're the trooper. All right. Okay, we'll close this work session and open a work session to move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. That would be Candace Franck to the Oregon Board of Accountancy, Brian Brooks to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, William Schmidt to the Building Code Structures Board, Robert Vovette and Kiki Parker-Rose to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, Charles Dunn, and Hai Pham to the Oregon Board of Dentistry, Heather Miller to the Electrical and Elevator Board, David Fiskum to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Gerardo Sandoval to the Oregon Housing Stability Council, Christine Telfer to the Oregon State Lottery Commission, Leslie Goss to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, Kathleen Harder and Cheryl Pereira to the Oregon Medical Board, Gina Carter and Walter Chuck Jr. to the Ocean Policy Advisory Council, William Goloski and William Perry to the Board of Trustees of Oregon Institute of Technology, Michael Bailey, Mark Baldwin, Rainey Barker, Julia Brim Edwards, Paul Kelly, Kirk Schuler, and Michael Thorne to the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University, Michael Shu to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, Erica Bestpitch, Maud Hines, Thomas Imason, Irving Levine, and Christine Vernier to the Board of Trustees of Portland State University, Shelley Castile, Ann Nickel, and John Swetman to the Psychiatric Security Review Board, Christine Allison, Patricia Patrick Joling, and Brian Wolf to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training, Sheila Klo to the Board of Trustees of Southern Oregon University, John Evans to the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology, Susan Gallagher-Smith to the State Board of Tax Practitioners, Peter Bragdon, Rodolfo Chapa Jr., Andrew Colas, Joseph Gagne III, Charles Lillis, Jimmy Murray, and William Palstian to the Board of Trustees of the University of Oregon, Myla Buckland and Gary Carroll II to the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, Roger Usi to the Workers' Compensation Board, Ann Mercero and Christina Payne to the State Workforce Investment Board. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Roblin, would you care to carry this on board?
Sure. Back us some names.
Thank you very much. Okay, with that, committee, that completes our work for the day.
Because I'm getting one of them.
Thank you.
One of them.
Thank you. It ends our work for the day.
Because I'm getting